This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Sports Saturday here on September 11th. And if you are obviously of a certain age, you will never forget that day. Hard to believe it's been 20 years. And as time passes, you know, and high school sports show here, it's just strange for me as a 40-year-old to think that kids in high school now weren't even alive when that happened 20 years ago today. So, I mean, it's straight history for them. They have no recollections because they weren't here. It's just very, it's strange, at least for me, to think that that's how much time has passed since that day. And if you remember after the fact, it was all, we will never forget. We will never forget. And I think 20 years later, that has still proven to be the case. I mean, myself, like everyone who was around that day knows exactly where they are at. And Jennifer, you know, we grew up with our parents in the Kennedy assassination, and they knew exactly where they were on that day. I was a 20-year-old college kid asleep in my dorm room when the first plane hit. And like a lot of people, I didn't think anything of it when the first plane hit. Oh, that's a terrible accident. But then, you know, you're watching the coverage and you see on live television what happened after that, and it became real clear, real fast, that this was no accident, that we were under attack. Just a terrifying day. It's hard to remember what life was like before September 11th, but we were carefree. We weren't worried about terrorism on the homeland and all these types of things, and it all changed that day. But, Jen, you have a personal connection to someone who was in New York City 20 years ago today.
Yeah, my brother, my oldest brother, Tim, and his wife, Christine, were actually living in New York at the time. And he had called my mom and said that my sister-in-law couldn't get home because they had shut down all modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. I'm not even sure how long, you know, she was stuck downtown, I'm sure, most of the day.
Yeah, just a surreal experience and just a terrifying moment in time. And 20 years later, it still feels just as current to me as it did on that day. And we're going to obviously get into our sports program here and start talking about high school football. And I don't remember or know what, like, the high school sports did after 9/11. Because, of course, you know, the NFL, they shut down. Baseball took a pause. I do not know what the local high schools did back then in response to 9/11. If high school football just kept on being played, if everything just went on as scheduled, I don't know. So coming up on the program today, we're going to talk with Hillsborough coach Joe Reed, Southwestern coach Pat Keith, and Nokomis coach Paul Watson, all coming this morning here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And on the phone with us right now is the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, Mr. Chad Easterday. And Chad, we say good morning, sir. Morning, Chad. How you doing?
Morning, Tim. I'm doing great. You?
Hey, I'm doing just fine here. Hard to believe that the fastest 9 weeks of sports is already a third of the way through.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like just yesterday we were trying to find a field and see it. We had sweatshirts on trying to practice, so.
Chad, I've got a question for you, and you might not know the answer because you weren't the coach yet. Do you, on 9/11, do you know, did high school football continue on? Did they pause? I really don't know.
Yeah, we played. We actually played. I can remember being an eighth grade science teacher, having the film on or the TV on. And I remember that it was kind of a big deal. We had the administration had a meeting, and then we had a moment of silence before the game and all that. So it was kind of a neat atmosphere.
In so many circumstances, sports a lot of time is what pulls us together and can kind of get us out of a scary situation.
Yeah, you know, there's been across major league sports, high school sports, everything that, you know, sometimes one of the greatest things is to acknowledge, let's use that term, acknowledge something, and you can do that in that type of gathering.
Hard to believe it's been 20 years. And, you know, in that 20-year span just in terms of sports. Carlinville football has had a lot of success in that window. And, Chad, I was just thinking about it last night, broadcasting your win over Hillsboro, about the run since you've been the coach now. Obviously a sustained run of excellence. But you're to the point now where you have used multiple quarterbacks, multiple elite wide receivers, and multiple tailbacks, same with the offensive line. So just talk about, you always talk about Carlinville reloads, and it's not just lip service. That is what you have done.
Well, first of all, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. My wife tells me I don't take enough of them. It comes down to kids. It comes down to parents. It comes down to community. I said last night on an interview, I put my coaching staff up against any of them, and any good head coach will say the same thing. So, you know, when you have that environment and kids really want to exceed, and they, I don't know that it's so much about winning that it is about responsibility. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about Carlinville tradition and those types of things, you know, I always talk about what you're responsible for, what your expectations are. And they take those things very, very seriously. So, you know, over the past 10 years, we've adapted. And I think as a coach, that you have to be willing to do those types of things. You know, to be real upfront and honest with you, I grew up in an era where I loved Carthage's offense. We were double tight 100, and we were running six plays. You know, so we've evolved as a coaching staff. A couple years ago, we went back to that stuff, and then all of a sudden, we're back throwing it around the lot again. So I think you have to, in a public school, you have to be willing to take those kids in and find out what they're good at, and try to build a game plan around them, and put as much work and effort into it as you expect out of them.
Well, I mean, you put your kids in positions to succeed. I commented to Carlos last night during the broadcast. Carlinville wasn't slinging it 50 times when they had Jacob Dixon. You know where your bread is buttered.
It was kind of funny because I got a text from my oldest son who's on his honeymoon, and he called a quarterback the sophomore year. I think he went two games and only threw it five times because Brandon and Corey, you know, that type of stuff. So, you know, it goes back to the kids and what they can comprehend. And I've been so blessed over the years to have very high football IQ. I mean, obviously, when you watch us, we are multiple formations, multiple shifts, multiple personnel groupings on and off the field. And those things don't just happen by accident. When you have great kids and they're mentally savvy and that type of stuff, then we're able to get those things done.
And, Chad, your passing game this year, I mean, Aiden DeBerzy, his accuracy looks to be supreme, and you've got a very dangerous 1-2 combo with Carson Weiser and Ethan Siglock there. They have the ability to take the top off at any moment, it seems.
Yeah, you know, we were very fortunate to kind of fall on that this year, and, you know, nothing against our run game, but we are very balanced, and, you know, everyone said, well, we're slinging it a lot, whatever else. I think on any given night, you know, we saw Mason Patton break one last 2 weeks, and I really thought that was, as much as I love throwing it that deep and that side of things and game changers, those little things like that are what makes the other thing go. So it's a constant battle up there, I think, on the other side of the sidelines, making sure you got enough people in the box to defend the run and defend those two people. So it's a good chess match that we're having this year, and obviously last night we were on the right side of the game.
But Chad, you have a circumstance here that I don't know that I ever recall. Henry Kufa is one of your starting wideouts, but he's also the best golfer at Carlinville, an elite golfer. I don't recall that combination with the two seasons going on at the same time. How is he making that work?
You are correct. I always have had kickers, but I've never had a skill positions before. So, Henry, number one, is a great athlete at USC1, and, you know, he'll go on that long laundry list of great athletes and multiple sport athletes that have come through here. So he plays in a lot of different packages for us. So it's made his life a little simpler, in terms of that sort of thing. So he plays in our nickel package on defense. He plays in our five wide package on offense. And then we've packaged those things so that all can be worked around at practice and those types of things. So once again, Tim, that goes back to our kids and understanding and being receptive to those types of coaching moves that are able to win football games.
It's a very unique combination. I thought to myself, I bet that has not really happened before at Carlinville, and I guess that has proven to be the case. Defensively,
I won't lie to you. There are several nights where I forget he's at golf, and I got the wrong practice plan, and I'm like, dang it, Koopa. So I got to switch gears in a minute because Eastern Day didn't get the golf schedule match with the practice schedule the night before. So, you know, but Henry's really good about telling me. I'm just really not good about listening sometimes, so that's usually how that works.
Well, sometimes it's hard to remember things, Chad.
Yeah, I'm getting old, Tim.
Chad, your special teams, I always marvel at your special teams. And, again, your kickoffs just keep your opponents off balance. And we saw it again last night, onside, mid-range pooches, deep kicks. And I know you just love the special teams. You always have and you always will.
Yeah, I'm not telling the whole story, but, I'd say 8-9 years ago, I got a math minor, and I love statistics, so I started joking around and charting all of it. In the winter, Coach Borgini and I did one time, and then we found a couple guys at U of I that did some weird things with special teams, and we've kind of evolved that. So, you know, I like the fact that when you have to game plan for us, you have to aspect for all three parts of the games, offense, defense, and special teams. So our kids, first of all, I personally like it. So the energy that I put into it, the kids feed off of, so – I mean, it's a big deal to get on kickoff. I mean, it's like a pecking order if you're on kickoff and kickoff return and punt return, those types of things. So we just don't like traditionally doing the same thing all the time. And it's kind of weird because over the years I've seen coaches now, you know, we always steal. The great thing about high school football coaches is we always steal other people's crap all the time. So, you know, I was breaking down Payne's film a couple weeks ago, and I had it against Hillsboro, and I saw a few pass routes I liked and that sort of stuff. They're getting installed and that sort of stuff. I've seen Coach Higgins run our bunch kickoff again. So, you know, those conference.
And the kickoffs, though, it's such an advantage for you guys because sometimes, you know, you kick it deep and there's a big return, and so it winds up being a wash. But every time you guys kick it off, I feel like you have a chance to get the ball back.
You know, you're correct, because it's one of those deep threat opportunities we talk about on offense. So if things are going our way, or we need to change the pace of the game or something like that, you know, we've talked to the kids about what the bad things could happen. So, you know, obviously if you onside kick and you don't get it, obviously you're losing 40 yards of field position, those types of things. So we spent a lot of time talking about what the pros and cons are and when we do that. And last night, obviously, they ended up with a penalty, and they have made the assumption we were going to kick it through the goalpost, and obviously we didn't. And, you know, that was one of those things that I felt helped change the game. The fumble on their first drive helped change the course of the game, and that changed the course of the game for us. So,
and then Ethan Siglock's 85-yard touchdown after that turnover, and it looked like Hillsboro might be going in to tie the game. That was just a sensational play by Ethan Siglock.
Yeah, you know, both him and Tavergian made great plays. It was kind of a broken play. He came back to the football, and, you know, then it's just an athlete being an athlete. So no, there's no reason. There was some great coaching there. We got the football in the right hand, so that makes me look great. So.
I thought it was the best coaching I've ever seen. I don't know, Chad.
Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate that. So, you know, the only thing we coached was Aiden Tavergian getting out of the pocket. We kind of coached that up a little bit, but, you know, Ethan did a great job, came back to the football, and you know, kept his feet in bounds, and then all of a sudden, one missed tackle ends up to be 65 yards. And as we've already talked about, that big play or that explosive play can definitely change the pace of the game.
Well, and final question, you just jogged my memory with it. Aiden DeBurge's ability to roll left and then throw back across his body with the accuracy that he does, very impressive.
I would say 99% of the time it is impressive, but I will not lie to you, I get a little nervous sometimes. I keep telling you. He does a great job. I'll tell you what he does best. He keeps his head up. Yeah. So, you know, he always knows where our receivers are. But, you know, I think his maturity, even from week one to this week, you know, I was very, very pleased to see him take off running last night. You know, if we're going to throw it that many times, people have to start accounting for him in the game as well. So, you know, that there on film was another way of getting another athlete into the game and into the game plan. So.
Chad, we always appreciate your time on Saturday's morning, sir, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, Tim.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, as they beat Hillsboro last night by the final of 42-8. Your other South Central finals last night, Southwestern beat Litchfield 55-0. Pena over Gillespie 44-13. Greenville down Staunton 37-0. And Vandalia was out of conference last night. They beat Carlisle 30-6. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we will talk with Hillsborough head football coach Joe Reed when Sports Saturday rolls on.
It is 9:22 right here on FM 106. Some of our Sports Saturday sponsors include Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, Taste the Homemade Goodness of Prairie Farms, Mark Stern, your state farm insurance agent in Litchfield, Kurtz 24-Hour Heavy and Light Duty Towing in Litchfield, and Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Jennifer Graham, back here on Sports Saturday. Fighting Illini football is underway right now. Yes, 9 o'clock was the pregame start. They're out in Virginia to face the Virginia Cavaliers. Live coverage right now on WAOX 105.3. The Ox kickoff just about 10 o'clock this morning. Big day for volleyball in Montgomery County. A grace-filled journey is into bracket play. Your gold bracket now, these are championship semifinals at Lincolnwood High School. Lincolnwood will play North Mac at 11. Staunton will face Vandalia at high noon. Those are gold bracket semifinals. The silver bracket at Lincolnwood, Hillsborough, St. Elmo, Brownstown at 11. Roxana, South County at noon. The bronze bracket in Hillsborough, Ramsey Edinburgh at 11, Nokomis and the Lincolnwood JV at noon. The copper bracket in Hillsborough today has McGivney against Greenview at 11, Litchfield and Mount Olive will play at noon. Again, the Montgomery County Tournament, a grace-filled journey underway today with bracket play. Happy to be joined on the phone right now by head Hillsborough football coach Joe Reed. And Joe, thank you for a few moments of your time this morning, sir.
Hey, no problem.
Well, you know, when I look at the schedule, you just got a big-time initiation right into the South Central Conference because your first four games have been the top half of the league for the better part of a decade. That is a rough way to start your tenure when you've got certain things you're trying to get instilled.
Quite the welcoming, indeed. But, you know, there's a lot of great coaches in this conference that do a lot of good stuff. So, you know, we got to prepare every week right now. So.
And Joe, last night's game, I'm sure all week long you talked about can't turn the ball over, can't turn the ball over. Well, you turned it over twice early, and it was costly.
Yeah, you know, I thought, you know, we started to kind of click early as far as putting a drive together, and then, you know, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot and not finishing drives, and, you know, that's an Achilles heel, and getting off schedule with, you know, errant passes and fumbles is not going to be part of our game. It's not going to contribute to us winning, that's for sure.
That second drive of the game, you were pinned back on your own 15, but you get a big run from Blaze Helton to get you on the plus side of the 50. And I think you got down inside the 30, and that's when you had the fumble. But I guess, Joe, from the outside, it just, you know, people say, well, you can't turn the ball over. Well, yeah, you can't turn the ball over, but sometimes things happen, and you have to find a way to just press forward.
Yeah, you know, something we talk about a lot is kind of dealing with the adversity, and you know, somebody just making a play, and you know, like I said, I thought we did. There were some glimpses of doing some things right. We're just we're coming up short in areas that matter. You know, turnovers is a huge portion of the game, especially a high school football game, and you know, that's something that, you know, once the other team gets a little bit of confidence, you know, they start making plays, and then, you know, a team like that, like Carlinville, that's got a lot of good athletes and well coached, you know, they make a couple of plays, and you're down 21-0 before you know it. So, we gotta start taking care of the football, and like I said, I think we're getting close, and I saw some things last night that were good, but you know, we gotta put a full game together.
Well, what I liked was coming out of the locker room, Carlinville got the football to start the third quarter. They still had their number one offensive unit on the field, and your defense came out and sent them three and out.
Yeah, you know, we kind of talked about responding, you know, at that point. You know, the clock was running, but, you know, we just got to find guys that, you know, that are willing to stick it down the line out there and make plays and really just – honestly get comfortable with what we're doing. And you know, that's something that you kind of forget, you know, when you're putting a program in and when you're doing different things, that you know, it takes a little bit of time. So we're just kind of fighting that bug right now, and obviously the turnover bug's not helpful in anything that we're trying to do.
No. I mean, the old saying, you know, Rome wasn't built in the day, and I mean, that's exactly the situation that you've got going. You're trying to do certain things, get certain mentalities and whatnot installed, and it becomes a mental battle, doesn't it? Because it had to be so deflating for you guys to have the good drive in a 7-0 game, and then one play later, an 85-yard touchdown, and it's 14-0. Mentally, how hard is it to stay up after a turn like that?
I think it's difficult, but like I said, you know, the best cure for some adversity is to simply just go out and make some plays. And you know, we got to get some guys that I can do that, and you know, withstand some of the adversity, and you know, just like I said, take care of the football, and you know, do the simple things. Because you know, we're still missing some things on alignment and assignment, and you know, if you can't do that right, then everything else is going to fail too.
And I mean, it is amazing. Like, the little things become big things. And so, to your point, if you're not lined up properly before the snap, or if things pre-snap aren't going the way they're supposed to go, the snap's not going to work out very well.
Right, right, absolutely right. And you know, we're getting better. We'll get better, and you know. That, like you kind of mentioned, you know, the front end of the schedule. Well, the entire schedule right now is you know, problematic for us. We just got to get some positive things happening, and you know, we got to get some guys you know, understanding that it starts with them first, and you know, fix their problems, and hopefully that contributes to the team you know, making some better plays and putting a win together.
And Elite, from my perspective up in the box last night, Joe, I saw absolutely no quit in your kids at any point.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think it's just a lot of them getting comfortable with what we're doing. But, you know, the effort's there, and that's, you know, that's something that you can't really coach. So it's nice that that's something that's already existing. So it's just putting it together, and it's little things. So I know that's kind of a cliche thing to say, but it really is. And once we can get it put together, and, you know, hopefully we can get the ball rolling.
So I was curious, you know, the turnovers have bit you a little bit here in the early part. What are some of the things that maybe you'll do in practice to try to work on ball security?
Well, for one, the quarterbacks are going to be going with the running backs for a few days. So that, you know, that obviously is an issue, and it's something that we, you know, we work on constantly. But, you know, I think some of it is just the kids getting comfortable and in the style of offense, and, you know, even just reading the blocks. And little things like that, and you know, how to cover the ball up in traffic. I think some of that is again just a kind of familiarity thing with what we're trying to accomplish. And you know, those things will come, and you know, hopefully we can reinforce that with some drill work at practice.
Well, Joe, I mean, you know this better than I, but when an athlete is thinking and not reacting, bad things can happen.
Yeah, and that's kind of the. That's kind of the disconnect right now. We're doing a lot of thinking, and things aren't second nature yet. You know, and once those things start becoming, again, they start becoming comfortable and they start becoming kind of second nature, that's when the light comes on and the kids can kind of relax and play. I think we got a mixture of guys that are, you know, trying to press to make plays, and then a mixture, and then some guys that just aren't sure if they're lined up correctly. So, you know, once we can mesh that, it just takes reps, you know, and there's only so much you can do at practice, you know, against your, you know, a JV squad, but, you know, and then, you know, it's not doing us any favors when we get in these games playing against good teams. And they're taking advantage of it, as they should, because they're well coached. So, you know, those are things that are just going to come with a little bit of time.
Joe, we'll end it on a little bit of a lighter note. I love when your defensive lineman is also your punter, because there was a situation last night where the punter was the last line of defense. And he's like, oh, I'm taking this dude down.
Oh, yeah. He's a great kid. Magnus is quite the athlete. Obviously, he's a great wrestler and track athlete. So he's kind of got he's got an array of talents, and he actually touched off some nice punts last night. And yeah, I don't like him to have to make tackles on punt, but he's definitely capable of it.
It's not a bad last line of defense, though.
That's very true.
Joe Reed, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings, Thursday, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks, Tim.
All right, that's Joe Reed, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. And, yeah, I mean, you just talk about a brutal introduction to the South Central Conference. Greenville week 1, Pena week 2, Carthenville last night, Vandalia next week. And, I mean, those four teams for the better part of a decade, and for a couple of the programs, it goes back even further than that. They're the top end of the South Central Conference. You know, it's 7 wins, 8 wins, 9 wins every year, and then playoff wins as well. So while the Toppers have taken it on the chin here the first 3 weeks, I say this with no hesitation. There are bright days ahead for the Toppers a lot sooner than later. But that is a rough way to get introduced. Well, I guess actually, you know, if you're getting introduced to the South Central Conference, I guess those are the programs to lead the introduction. As Joe Reed said, welcome to the South Central. But good days ahead for the Toppers in the very near future. South Central standings here. Pena, Greenville, Southwestern, all 3-0. Vandalia and Carthenville are both 2-1. Now, Vandalia lost to Pena week one. Of course, Carthenville lost to Vandalia week two. Greenville will not play Pena, Carthenville, or Vandalia to the last 3 weeks of the year. And for Pena, they've got games against Greenville and Carthenville in two of the final 3 weeks, with the game against Nokomis mixed in there. So the South Central, still a lot to be decided after just 3 weeks of football. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Southwestern head coach Pat Keith. The Pious Allbirds off to a 3-0 start. We talk it over with Coach Keith when Sports Saturday continues.
It is 9:34 right here on FM 106. Some of your Sports Saturday. Oh, I lost my train of thought. Sorry, Tim. Anyway, so it's brought to you by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond in Farmersville, and Prairie Town Feed Service. And sorry about that. I left the queue a little bit too loud. And Tim, yeah, well, he just about gave me a heart attack this morning. Sorry, Tim. It's back to you now.
Tote would always say, the safety of the free world is not at stake here. It's just not. We are here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Going to catch up with Southwestern head coach Pat Keith here in just a moment. Nokomis coach Paul Watson also still on the way here on Sports Saturday. Some more scores from last night out of the Sangamo Conference. Pittsfield beats Auburn 31-24. Williamsville rolled over Riverton 57-7. Marrero Forsyth hammered New Berlin 64-7. And Athens topped Pleasant Plains 41-7. So it certainly looks Williamsville, Marrero Forsyth, Athens, definitely the top end once again of the Sangamo Conference. In the WIVC South last night, Greenfield Northwestern beat North Green 66-6. Carrollton over Pleasant Hill 55-14. And in the WIVC North, Beardstown beat Jacksonville Route 26-6. Camp Point Central over Minden Unity 42-34. And Brown County, they beat Triopia last night by the final of 14-9. In the Central State 8, in the Leonard Bowl, Rochester beat SHG 45-41. Glenwood over Jacksonville 35-28. And then a couple of forfeit wins, Southeast over MacArthur, Normal U-High beat Lanphier. Try to catch up with Pat Keith here momentarily on Sports Saturday. See if we can make connection with the Pious Allbirds head coach as they are off to that 3-0 start. In the Mississippi Valley Conference last night, non-conference play, Jersey over Lincoln 32-16. Civic Memorial beat Roxana 38-0. Marion topped Highland 48-28. Triad beat Mount Vernon 66-7. Waterloo bested Carbondale 38-14. Muscuda beat Centralia 42-7. In the Apollo Conference, it was Mattoon topping Taylorville 12-9. Effingham beat Charleston 42-0. In the Cahokia Mississippi Conference, it was Columbia beating Dalton Marquette 48-14. And Bree Central topped Redbud 42-19. And in the Central Illinois Conference, the Cater St. Teresa, they knocked off top-ranked Central A&M by the final of 34-0. So we're having, I guess, a little bit of an issue trying to get Pat Keith on the phone. We'll see if we can catch up with Paul Watson maybe a little bit earlier than we had originally planned here on Sports Saturday. So coming up today in high school football, North Mac will be hosting Olney Richland County. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick tonight in Verdon. Of course, North Mac was scheduled to play Porta last night, and unfortunately for Porta, you have to feel for the Porta Blue Jays. My goodness gracious. Their varsity football team has yet to play a game. They've had to have three COVID forfeits here through the first 3 weeks of the year. And I guess the issue this week, there was definitely some COVID problems, but also they had some injury issues as well. So they just didn't have enough varsity players to play. So unfortunately for Porta, 3 weeks into the year, they have yet to take the field. So North Mac will host Olney Richland County tonight. That game will begin at 7 o'clock. Joining us on the phone right now is Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
Hey, doing fantastic, and a bit of a nail-biter last night for you.
Yeah, you know, the first half didn't go the way that we had planned. But after half, we made a few adjustments and come back and played two really good quarters.
Talk to me about the first half last night. Coming off of last week's game, what was the mood and attitude in practice this week leading up to last night?
Well, we know we had a good week of practice, but we come out last night and came out kind of flat. And then Landon Engelman got hurt there early on, and that kind of, all the players' moods kind of went down, and their heads weren't quite in the game there. So, we wasn't executing, we wasn't hitting, wasn't doing too many things right that first half.
When your lead dog goes down, it can be kind of a shock initially. What's the prognosis on Landon?
Well, he broke his arm. I'm going in for surgery at 10 o'clock today. So, it is what it is.
Yeah. And I mean, from a coaching perspective, Paul, stuff like that, it just breaks your heart.
It does. And you know, as hard as he has worked, you know, the past couple of years, preparing for his senior year and injuries happen and it just is, normal run that he's ran, hundreds of times and just fell on it wrong and broke it.
Mm. And, yeah, you mentioned all the effort and time that was put in to get to a quote-unquote normal year with playoffs. To have that happen, you feel so bad for Landon. But as you said, football is unfortunately part of it, so it becomes a next-man-up scenario. And is that a situation where at halftime they just had maybe some time to process and get decompressed a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and we had our other, our starting running back. He was out with an injury this week, Matthew Hill. So he didn't play. So, that was one place where we got some depth there as running back. And Isaac Satterley stepped in and took that spot and did a good job for us. And, Jake Watson and Jake Johnson, both had a heck of a game there. I think Jake Watson ended up with 27 carries, 135 yards, and Jake Johnson had three touchdowns, two on the ground, and he caught one there. And so, it's the next man, it's time to step up, and they did a great job. The line did outstanding there in the second half, and Ethan showed up and was playing downhill and was popping. So I was proud of the second half.
And when you're a hard-nosed physical football team like you guys are, I wonder if it's just a little, not easier necessarily, but maybe not as a big of a difficulty to overcome that type of mental challenge when you see your lead guy go down, because you're just like, we're just going to go hit people.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And we haven't played that hard-nosed, Nokomis football like we wanted to. For the first two games, I felt like we weren't playing, up to our capabilities, kind of how we was playing in the spring. I think it was a combination of first home game and then coming in the locker room down 20-6 there at halftime. We talked to them a little bit, and then we kind of coaches went to the coach's office and we told the seniors, hey, this is your senior year. It's up to you guys to get fired up and get going. And so the seniors, they got in front of everybody and they had a few words with the team and that hard hitting come out after half.
That is the beauty of football, maybe more so than other sports, is that type of scenario right there where the coach says, boys, it's up to you. You better get up to play.
It is, and that's what we said. It's hard, it's how bad do you want it? I mean, we've got a lot of talent, and we know how good we could be. But the effort wasn't there in the first half. The effort, you know, we saw the coaches' effort hasn't been there the first 2 weeks, and you know, that second half we've seen that team that we know we could be.
And I wonder, and I could be completely wrong, but maybe the worst thing that could have happened was that complete domination in week one, to where the boys thought, "Oh, okay, we got this."
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't want to say it's been easy, but you know, we hadn't had a close game since week one of the spring.
Wow.
And then you know, we come out week one, you know, this fall, and you know, score every possession, and I don't know if we just kind of, you know, thought it was going to be easy and could just kind of coast through and go through the motions, you know, and then we go and play A&M, and they come out, and you know, it's a hard physical game, but we still weren't playing the way that we, you know that we could play. And then I think that first half, I think it might have been some confidence in there, and then Landon goes down. So it was a mixture of a lot of things, but you know, I'm proud of the team, and you know, they come out that second half and played hard.
So 2-1 through 3 weeks, and you know, I think realistically when we looked at the schedule, thought, yeah, okay, 2-1, that's probably right, knowing that what Central A&M was and that being a road game. But as you look at the rest of your season now, 6 games to go, if you guys play with the intensity that you're talking about that you found in the second half, there's a lot of good times ahead for Nokomis.
Yeah, you know, and we still got to find that week 5 opponent. We still got an open date there, and you know, we're kind of hoping with, you know, Sullivan end up canceling their varsity season and making Meridian had them week 5, and you know, we're kind of hoping to get that game with them, but it looks like they're just going to take the forfeit win, and you know, hopefully maybe they'll change their mind and we can get a game there with them, but you know, we're still looking for that. But you know, we got several, you know, good teams coming up here that you know, we're going to have to play with the intensity, and we're going to have to bring it every week, so we can run the table, but it, you know, it's not going to be easy.
Paul, this is one of the strange things about this year is you don't know day-to-day who your opponent might actually be. And from a football perspective, that is very, very tough. Everybody's in the same boat, but it's tough.
Yeah, you know, you said, you know, get back to the fall and get back to a normal season. And I tell you what, this season, this school year has been far from normal. You know, each day I come into the school and I'm like, okay, who's getting tested today? Who's been exposed? Who's going to have a practice? Who's not going to have a practice? And you know, it's like you said, you know, each week, you know, are we going to have a game this week? You know, is that our team going to have, you know, COVID positive, and, you know, are they going to play? And yeah, it's far from normal. So, you know, and you got to, and that's the thing. And Coach Kimbrough always said, you know, you got to worry about you, you know, and yeah, you got to get some stuff on your opponent, but you know, when it comes down to the end of the game, it's how's your team execute, and you know, did you have them ready? So, you know, we'll worry about us and worry about executing and doing our thing, and whoever we play, we play.
Sounds good. Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis. And, yep, that is devastating news. Landon Engelman breaking his arm last night, and you heard Paul allude to it. But injuries at any time are sad. But when it happens in your senior year, especially early in your senior year, when you put so much in for that final high school football season, to get hurt like that, you just feel for Landon Engelman and Nokomis. But Nokomis, they will rally. You know, sometimes when things like this happen, it's devastating, of course, but these Nokomis kids, they'll rally behind, they'll play for Landon, right? I mean, that's what's going to happen, is they're going to come out and they're going to play hard and intense and do it for Landon Engelman. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We will come back following these messages on WSMI.
949 FM 106. Some of our WSMI Sports Saturday being brought to you by some of our sponsors, that is, some of those wonderful sponsors. Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond and Farmersville, Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield, Prairie Town Feed Service, Hillsboro Area Hospital, your front door to a world of healthcare, Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, Litchfield National Bank, and Woods Basement Systems. And once again, we join WSMI's Tim Mize.
Hey, what, Jennifer? Sometimes I'm about as sharp as a dull spoon. So Jennifer, tell me, I can't get a hold of Pat Keith. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Well, I gave Jennifer the wrong phone number. My goodness gracious. I wrote the number down. I give the sheet of numbers to Jennifer every morning. Well, I had one number wrong, and that's not going to work when you're trying to place a phone call. So, Pat Keith, sorry that we're later than the time we talked about. I'm just stupid.
No problem, man. No problem.
So, since we've talked last, you've actually played a couple of football games. Talk to me first about your first game this year at Westland. That was a nice road win.
Yeah, it was definitely a good road win against a good program, and it was nice to get, obviously, a game under our belts because, obviously, you know, the first week we weren't able to play, and so it was nice to get a game under our belts. But the kids, you know, this has been first game mistakes, but overall, like I said again, it was just important to be able to actually have a contest instead of practice. So I felt pretty good about it. Everybody stayed healthy, so that was a good win for us, definitely.
And that was a deal where in the fourth quarter, you guys had to execute and take care of business, and you did exactly that.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. We had a big play there at the end, and we executed well in the fourth quarter. Had a big interception there at the end to kind of seal the deal. But like I said again, we were a little bit rusty the first week, and which was actually the second week, but our first week, and Trent had a good game plan. So we were lucky to get out of there with the win. But like I said again, it was just good to be able to, like you said, get a game under our belts and kind of just get some game time, basically.
And you get into conference play last night, of course, at Litchfield. You win it 55-0, and it's no secret that Litchfield, they're trying to build back up. But when you're playing a game like that, Pat, in the week of practice, how challenging is it to keep your kids focused? Because anybody can beat anybody on any given Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. And I'll be honest with you, I saw on film with them against Gillespie in week one, and they're definitely improved from, you know, I know they didn't have a program last year, but, you know, Coach Carlson and Coach Elvis, those guys are doing a great job. And they have some good athletes, some good kids. They're just young right now. They're an up-and-coming program. They just, you know, I guess the numbers was an issue for them in the past, but they're getting numbers back, and you can tell they're well-coached and, you know, execution is getting better. So you're definitely right. You know, our conference, like I always say, it's a tough go every week, and we had to prepare just like as anybody else. So we just went over and executed and took care of things, and I was happy for that for our guys too.
And, I mean, you know how it goes. When you've got a young team, especially in the South Central Conference, it can be tough. And you've been through that boat, and you're coming out the other side of it now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think I feel like I've been through it, you know, obviously when I came here, and then obviously when I was at Roxanne as well, you know, 10, 15 years ago. So it's a tough sled, but like I said, they're doing good things. You can tell they're well coached, and the community seems excited about it, you know, and so that's a good thing for them. And this, I mean, if they stay the course, obviously their numbers are going to improve, and they're going to improve. So I think Litchfield's doing the right thing, is heading in the right direction.
And, Pat, with you guys at Southwestern, of course, you went 5-1 in the spring season, which was fantastic. But there's something about being 3-0 in the fall season. It probably feels a little bit different.
It does feel different, definitely. But, you know, we're happy where we're at right now, but we know we're kind of going to go through the gauntlet here, the conference gauntlet here in the next couple weeks. So here's an opportunity for us to kind of see where we're at and see, you know, how we sit in the conference race. And hopefully for us, we'll execute well and be prepared and, you know, come out with some wins. But like I said, again, I always say the same thing. I feel like I'm a broken record, but we have some good, obviously, conference opponents, and so we're going to hit the gauntlet here a little bit. So we just got to keep getting improving day every day at practice and getting better and getting ready for Friday night against Greenville.
And it seems every team in the league runs into that type of gauntlet where you're talking about, where you're going to have multiple weeks where it's Greenville, Pena, Carletonville, Vandalia in some sort of order. And from your guys' perspective, I think for just any team, if you come out of something like that, 2-2, that's good.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, obviously I think in order to make yourself an established team in this conference, you have to, you know, compete and win some of those games against those teams you're talking about. And that's our goal, to kind of get to that point where we could compete and win some of those games. And like you said, get ourselves in position to obviously either be in a position for a conference title or at least be in a position for a playoff spot. So in order to do that, we got to win some of these games that maybe people don't expect us to win. And I think we're, you know, hopefully we're kind of scratching up the door a little bit. But once again, it's just an uphill battle. But I think our kids are ready to, you know, have a good week of practice, and they're ready to kind of take the next step, hopefully.
Well, maybe, Pat, maybe from your perspective, you might just want, just keep, let everybody keep doubting us. Don't think about the pie I saw birds. Don't worry about it. And then you go into those games with house money, and who knows what happens.
Right. And I know that's not the case. I mean, yeah, I do think the same thing, but I know our coaches, our conference are, we have a lot of good coaches in our conference. I know they're going to be well prepared. So it's my job and my staff's job to get our kids prepared as well. And like I said, you know, this is we're kind of this next week is going to kind of tell us where we're at, I think, within the conference and the rest of the season. So, like you said, you know, every week's a battle, and then, you know, I think in my opinion, these games like these, just the team that makes less mistakes, you know, mental mistakes and physical mistakes, be the one that come on top. So hopefully that's us.
So much of the South Central, when you're playing through the gauntlet, comes to line of scrimmage. So talk to me about your interior play, where it is now, and where you'd like to see it maybe be 3 weeks from now.
Yeah, I think we had some, you know, obviously some replacing guys here at the beginning of the year, but I think we're improving. I think our guys are starting to obviously understand our schemes a little better. And you know, you just said something about the spring earlier, but I think the spring was a big benefit for us and probably everybody else, but just it's kind of fresher in the kids' minds. So we just kind of obviously it's kind of a transition, a little easier transition, you know, for our the new linemen learning our schemes and preparing. So I think our guys are getting better. You know, we got a little way to go still, but I think we're getting better. Hopefully that'll take care of itself in the next couple weeks, like you said, so we can kind of shore up some things and establish a run game.
And I would sure think that the bus rides home have been quite enjoyable.
Yeah, they've been nice. You know, like I said, any sport you play, Tim, you know how it works. Whenever it's kind of a work and reward, you know. So when your kids put the work in and the reward's positive, it's always a better feeling for the kids and the program. So right now, you know, obviously kids are seeing the reward of hard work they put in the summertime, the hard work they put in the fall here. And so it's been kind of a nice thing. But now it's time to go to work and keep kind of establishing the fact that, you know, nothing's free and nothing's easy. So we got to prepare every week and get ready to go this Friday.
I don't want you to give away any state secrets here, Pat, but as you get set to play Greenville, what are going to be some of the keys for the Pius Allbirds?
I think one is just defense to be able to contain. You know, Greenville so far, you know, obviously like always has a solid run game and a real quality pass game. So we got to be able to probably to really establish ourselves and defend the pass game well. And I think for us offensively, it's just to keep the ball out of their hands and kind of grind the football a little bit and have sustained drives and not shoot ourselves in the foot on those drives and kind of try to, then when we get the opportunity to score down the, you know, if we do get the opportunity to score, obviously take care of that and get it done.
Sounds good. Pat Keith, nice start, 3-0. Good luck against the Comets.
Thanks, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right, that is Pat Keith, the head coach of Southwestern. And, oh, boy, it is just, it's just fun when a team like Southwestern is asserting themselves at the top of the South Central Conference. It makes for such a fun conference season as the Southwestern Pius Allbirds, the Greenville Comets, and the Paina Panthers are your 3-0 teams in the South Central through the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, in terms of the Sangamo Conference, Moreau Forsyth, of course, atop the league, they are 3-0. Williamsville, they are 2-1, but of course the one loss came to that school from Wisconsin. Pleasant Plains and Athens, along with Pittsfield, are also 2-1 in the Sangamo so far. Remember, North Mac, they will play tonight, hosting Olney Richland County. That will be a 7 o'clock kickoff tonight in Verdon. Don't forget, Fighting Illini football kicking off at the top of the hour. Pregame coverage right now on 105.3 The Ox with Illinois at Virginia as the Illini will try to rebound after losing to UTSA last Saturday night. So Illinois 1-1, win over Nebraska, lost to Texas, San Antonio. We'll see what they do today on the road at Virginia. Cardinal baseball tonight, Reds Cards from Busch, 5:20 with the pregame on WQSMI AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Big day for volleyball in Montgomery County. A grace-filled journey continues today. Your gold bracket semifinals at Lincolnwood, the Lancers and North Mac at 11, Staunton and Vandalia at noon, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse, as they say, but, you know, I can do it. The teams can't, but I guess I can. A Lincolnwood Staunton championship would be unbelievable for the area, and that would be a top flight match if it happens. A lot of volleyball to play between now and that. The silver bracket at Lincolnwood, Hillsborough, St. Omer, Brownstown at 11. Roxana, South County will play at noon. The bronze and copper brackets are at Hillsborough. The bronze bracket, Ramsey, Edinburgh at 11. Nokomis, the Lincolnwood JV at noon. In the copper bracket, Father McGivney will take on Greenview at 11, and then Litchfield will battle Mount Olive at noon. Also, the Wood River Invitational today, that's Greenville and Bunker Hill involved there. Paina will be at the Shelbyville tournament. That is it for Sports Saturday. Thank you very much to Chad East today, Joe Reed, Pat Keith, and Paul Watson for joining us here on Sports Saturday.